Welcome back to the Wavy Podcast. I am your host, Gemma, as well as the managing editor of thesoundtrack.ca. So today, here with me, I have Tafari Anthony. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. So basically, I wanted to have Tafari here today to talk about his new EP, The Way You See Me. It's kind of like soul pop vibes. I love it. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Before we get into the EP, though, I'd love if you could give a bit of an introduction to yourself to the listeners.
Yeah, of course. So my name is Tafari Anthony, which you obviously know because you just said it. I'm a soul pop singer-songwriter from Toronto, Ontario, and I just kind of make whatever comes to my soul.
I like that you're soul pop. It's like kind of represents this time we live in of like genre bending, but it's a nice combination, and I think it really represents your unique sound.
Thank you. Yeah, I know. I always feel weird like putting a genre or slash label on it because I just feel like it feels limiting, but I think obviously people kind of need a way to just represent something and like call it something, right? So for me, it's like obviously my voice is soulful and like pop music, so I'm trying to like mix those two things together. And so for, I don't know, I think it makes sense.
Hopefully. Oh, totally. It's definitely working. So I'd love if you could give a bit of an overview of what the album is about to the listeners from your point of view.
So it's called The Way You See Me, and it's kind of like a two-parter name. So it's a line in the last song of the EP, which is called Feel the Love. And so the lyric goes, I wish that I could see myself the way that you see me. And basically that song is kind of me talking about my partner or people that have kind of interested in me before and how I just personally have never seen myself as someone who's attractive or someone that is like desirable. And so I was trying to put myself in this lens of like trying to understand it and trying to maybe not convince myself is not the word, but like trying to allow myself to actually believe these things that people are telling me. So that's kind of where the line came from. And then when I was trying to title the EP, I was just going through so many different names, trying to like find like an overarching theme to the whole thing. And when I really sat down and like listened to everything with like a critical eye or critical ear, I guess, that title just kind of like stuck with me. And I think what I end up getting from it as well was like, The Way You See Me is like almost like me challenging the way people see me as well. So obviously being like a black man and a gay black man in this industry, it's like you're kind of already pigeonholed into what you're quote unquote supposed to be doing. So it's like me doing this project, I kind of just set out to do something that was more pop based from what I was doing before. And it was an intentional thing to do that. But again, it's like something that's not really expected of someone who looks like me. So that's kind of where the meaning of it came from for me.
I love that. I love that it's a double meaning. As for the first part, I think that really speaks to what a lot of people go through, and I can totally relate. And I know so many of my friends can relate. Mm-hmm. And it's such a common issue in relationships. So I absolutely love that you're speaking to that through your EP. And as for the second part, I also think that's amazing. And, you know, hey, it may be seen out of the box, which it shouldn't be, but, you know, I think you described it perfectly, but I think you're opening the doors for a lot of other black artists. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah. I think that's really what it's about, right? It's like, it's up to us to not let those boundaries define us. Right.
Cause
I mean,
sure.
I could have easily just done whatever I wanted me to do the R&B thing, do all the crazy runs all the time and like, just do that. But like, if that's not what's in your soul and that's not what you actually want to do, like you have to actually enjoy what you're doing and make the kind of art that you actually feel and want to make.
Exactly. And honestly, like with like the radio waves over the years, like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes like everything can kind of sound the same. So it's really refreshing to hear you mesh some different flavor into pop music. And I'm really excited to see what else you create in the future. And I hope that this can inspire other artists to, you know, do the same thing and not be afraid to mesh genres in that way.
Yeah, totally.
However, what I'm curious what, well, I guess you kind of explained it, but I'd love to dive a bit deeper into what the album does mean to you.
For me, like the album for me it was definitely a turning point. Like my previous music is, it was more on like the indie side, and I was infusing more of a rock soul kind of thing then compared to now what's happening. So for me, being able to do this project this way, one, like I completely self-funded this thing. There was no grants, nothing. So there was that aspect of it that was kind of crazy already.
Wow.
I know.
It's expensive.
Trust me, it is not cheap.
Yeah.
I didn't even, like, I just thought about the other day. I was like, oh man, I didn't get any funding. Like all the videos, the recording, studio time, publicity, all that stuff. Like I've just been like pooling any money that I have into doing it. So that alone makes this project so special for me, because it's like, I feel like I just really just took a hold of it and said, you know what, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it on my own. And I made it happen. So it's like a huge accomplishment for myself.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. But on top of that, I think what it means for me is that I was also able to like collaborate with people, which is not something I didn't want to do it before, but I just never, I guess maybe I didn't have the opportunity, or I didn't feel as confident to like approach songwriters and approach different producers and things like that. So this project to me seems a lot more collaborative than my previous work. I was able to find people online for a lot of things, which again is something that was just out of my comfort zone. And I just opened myself up quite a lot more with this project. And I think that's why like I'm so passionate about it, and I'm so proud of the work and the fact that people are receiving it so well. Like just, yeah, it's a really great thing for me.
That's fantastic. And I have a general idea of like how much it costs to actually get music to sound good and sound professional and like mixing, mastering, all that. And it's not cheap. So like, yeah, well done. And, you know, I hope in the future you can get some funding and get some help with that. But at the same time, like, I guess when you do put your money into something, it can kind of make you care about it like even more, because you're like, I'm paying for this. I want it to be good. I don't know.
And it's like, it's that, it's almost like the struggle to kind of get it through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you can't help but appreciate that even more. Mm-hmm. Not to say that people get funding, they don't struggle. Like obviously like the funding is never enough. You can always use more, but I feel like I've had funding before and it was still difficult then. It was difficult now, but it's like a different energy.
Absolutely.
Together.
Absolutely. And you know, you mentioned that this through this process you were doing a lot more networking and reaching out to people, and I myself understand networking, I mean, maybe I guess in a bit of a different way, but you know, once you get the hang of it, it's not so bad. But I guess you must have connected with some pretty good people. Would you be able to tell me maybe some people you collaborated with on this album or EP?
Of course. Don't worry, I keep calling it an album too, and I know it's a EP, but I'm like, you know what? This is an album, whatever.
Yeah.
Album EP, as long as you listen to it, it's all good. So yeah, as far as like collaborators, so I think the first song that is still on the EP that I started with was Feel the Love, and that one I collaborated with Jason Kuz and Wes Markels, and they're from the Darcys. And
oh,
that one,
cool.
Yeah. So like they're super cool guys, and that was actually the first co-write that I did for this project or that time frame. So I was like, I was hella nervous, I'm not gonna lie. But they were so cool, and it's like when I got in the room with them, it was just like, it was almost like we had been friends for a long time. So I felt very easily opened up, which I think is why that song was able to result in that way, because I didn't have any guards up, and I didn't feel like threatened or anything like that. So I think by working with them first, I think it really opened my eyes to the possibility of what it can be like to write with other people and do that collaboration aspect. So they were the first ones that I worked with. And then after that, I think the next song that I got done was No Good. At that point, I was kind of like searching for other producers to work on things. And it was like maybe like 6 months to a year of trying to find people in Toronto to work or just like get down with the project. And it just wasn't happening for whatever reason. So I was kind of at a point of like just frustration or feeling a little bit down, like people don't like, they may not like the work or whatever, you know what I mean? Like you kind of get in your head about it when it's like, why don't you want to work on this?
Yeah.
So I had to, like, it was either I stay in that headspace and then get nothing done, or I switch up my mindset and just figure out another way. So that's what happened. And then I said, listen, like, obviously the internet is here. The world is our friggin' oyster. So I can work with anybody around the world. Like, they don't, I don't have to necessarily be in the same room, which is, yeah. It's like kind of funny that I started doing that like 2 years ago and now we kind of have like no choice.
yep.
So, I know, right? So I kind of got the hang of it early, but I've ended up finding a site called Sound Better. And basically I keep relating it to like almost like a Craigslist or like a Facebook for musicians. And it's just essentially like a platform where you have a bunch of different producers, you have mixers, songwriters, singers, whatever you want, you can find on there. And it's just like, you can put out a proposal. And then once you put out the proposal, you get people coming back and they can give you feedback or they can say like, I want to be part of this project, yada, yada. And so from that, honestly, the majority of the album was done that way. So I ended up finding a producer by the name of Alexander Flockhart. And so he did 3 of the 6 songs on the EP. And so he started with No Good. And it was just like, it was this weird thing where like, the minute we connected, it's not like I've never met him in person. We never talked on the phone, nothing. It was just like emails back and forth. But like, we just connected so much on the same vibe of like what kind of music we were into and like how we approached pop and all that kind of stuff. So it was just like a beautiful, beautiful marriage at that point. So I think that's why I kept going back to him, because I was just like excited to work with him. And he just really offered like what I was feeling in my head or the things that I kind of had in my head to get out. Like, he was able to just figure it out. Which,
that's amazing.
I never really experienced that before. So so it was that. And then also on that platform, I found another producer named Alex Schenkman. And so he did the song When I Come to You. And he's based out of LA. Alex Flockhart, he was based out of London. I think now he's in LA or New York. So yeah, it was like this multi, like, different location kind of project. And then I think the only other people that I worked with on this one, I went to Edmonton. And I did the song Centerfold in Edmonton with a group of people. So it was Brandon Eunice, Oblivion, and Kelly Elena. And this was like another situation where like I'd never been to Edmonton for the one thing, right? So it was my first time going to Edmonton. I was in Calgary. I think I had just finished a tour. And I was in Calgary visiting some friends. And I said, like, I kind of knew Brandon from where he was working with other people that I knew, but I'd never actually met him in person. And so I just was like, would you be cool with us like just doing a session? And again, this is what I'm saying. Like, these are things that, like, me personally, like, Tafari, he doesn't do this usually. I don't just, like, reach out to random people and be like, hey, like, you want to do something? Like, it's something that I just always felt, like, weird about. But I just, again, I had to just change the mindset and, like, let go of that fear or whatever it is, right? So he was totally down, obviously, and he's like, hey, I have these other 2 people that I think would be great. And so I took the bus from Calgary to Edmonton. I think it was like 6 o'clock in the morning or something stupid.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And I got dropped off at this hotel when I didn't know anything. I was like, okay, this guy's gonna pick me up. I don't know who he is, but whatever.
Well, that's kind of scary, but like, we'll go with it.
But I mean, obviously, like, I knew of him, so I wasn't worried, but you know, it sounds kind of sketch.
I love it.
So yeah, so then we like met and then we like got breakfast and then we went back to his studio and everyone else was there and we literally wrote the song in like an afternoon. And it was, again, just like everything just kind of clicked and lined up so well that the energy was just right. And so I've gone back now and I've written more with them that we'll definitely hear in the future. But that was the only one that kind of was ready for this EP. And then the last person that is on this EP is Blue Will. And Blue Will is like a Toronto R&B singer, R&B soul kind of singer. And she is just friggin' amazing. She connected with me, I think it was back in like 2016. I had done like CBC Searchlight and she just like messaged me on Instagram and was like, hey, I really like what you're doing. I would love to like work with you at some point. And we had never really like written anything together, but we just became like really good friends. To like put an example, like if she's got, you know, a video shoot she needs to do and she needs some help, like I will drop what I'm doing. I'll go and help her to do it and vice versa. Like, it's just that kind of friendship where it's like, there's no expectation. And it's just like, you know, we're just there to ride for each other. We support each other and we just get things done. So with this song, One For You that she's on, I had actually written the song one day at home by myself. And then I finished it. And I was like, I don't know if I could sell this song like the way it was. It's like, it just seems like it's not fully my style. So I was like, oh, this sounds like Blue Will though. So I sent it to her and she was into it. And I was like, it's yours if you want to record it. And then a few months had gone by and she hadn't done anything with it. And I was just like, okay, well, girl, if you're not gonna do anything with it, I'm gonna do it. So I sent it to Alexander Flockhart again, and he made up the music for it, and it was great. And I was recording it, and I was like, listen, I still feel like you need to be on this song. So I said, just come to the studio, like, let's just do a verse, whatever, and we'll get it done. And I think, again, just like talking about the energies, like the energy was just so right, timing was so right. And yeah, so that's basically how that one came together. And I think that covers all the collaborations on the EP.
Awesome. Well, first of all, like, again, good for you for stepping out of your comfort zone. And I think that is going to bring you so many opportunities in the future, because now you have a better understanding of how to do that. And you probably have more confidence in doing that. Another thing, not to get all like spiritual, but I am going to a bit. It sounds very like fate, like, you know, like you said, you were struggling for like a year or so to get people to collaborate. And it was like you had to take this extra step to step outside the box and, you know, push yourself in order to get it done. And then it sounds like you really vibed with everybody you worked with. And even the fact that you had to give Blue Will that extra push, that also sounds like it was really meant to be, you know? So.
No, I'm so big on signs and that kind of stuff. Like, honestly, like, I could have sat there for another year and still got nothing done. But it's just like, you know, obviously if I'm doing that over and over and over again, it's not happening. Like, it's not meant to be. So you gotta move and figure out, like, where am I supposed to be? You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm totally with you on that.
Cool. And then what was the name of that website you used?
Oh, it's called Sound Better. And I think Spotify has bought it out, but it's still basically the same thing.
Awesome. Well, artists listening, definitely take note, because this changed his life.
And the thing is, like, there's like Grammy Award winning producers and mixers, like everyone's on there. So it's like, it's a good way to kind of open the door, especially when it can feel, as an artist, it can definitely feel very like isolating and like, you know, you can't find the right people to work with, whatever. So this is just, it like offered a nice way to kind of like bridge that gap. Even if it's just to like start, you know, but you never know who you're going to find and all that stuff. So yeah.
Absolutely. So this was about like a 2-year process?
Yeah. So what happened was, I think I released my last EP in, I think it was 2017. And then after that point, like, I just decided to stop releasing music, because obviously like releasing music is like recording the music and doing that is one thing, but like releasing it is like a whole nother task as well. Yeah. So, And like, as an independent artist, and again, like talking about like just not having the funding and like self-funding the whole thing, it's like, I can't keep up doing both at the same time. It's just not feasible, right? So I took the 2 years off from releasing music, is what I'm calling it, to just focus on writing and then like kind of building those funds to get things done. And so I think the first year was mostly the writing. Second year was mostly like getting it produced, getting it, doing all the vocals, that kind of stuff. And now this would be the third year of it, where now I have the money to do the promotion and that kind of thing.
It must feel amazing to have it out. Do you feel like a bit of relief? or like it went really well, it seemed like, in the press and stuff. I don't know if relief is the right word, but
no, well, relief is the word I would actually use.
Yeah, perfect. We're vibing.
Yeah, it's like, I it feels weird to say that, but like, I think the other day I said, I feel like a weight is off my shoulder.
Yeah.
But like, not in a bad way, but it's just like, it's a relief and a release of like, just, you know, actually getting that out there, because it's like, anticipation is no longer there now, right? So now it's just out, people can enjoy it, and I can, you know, I can just live in that aspect of it for a little bit now.
Totally. Yeah, I was kind of wondering how you were feeling, because I was just working on a release with a friend of mine named Michelle Treacy. So yeah, I was helping her with the like press aspect of it. Well, actually, I helped her with distribution and stuff as well. And I'd never done like any of that before. Like, I've done like traditional PR and stuff like that, but never in the music space. And it's a lot of work. But it was like we were working on it for like a decent amount of time, and then like when it was finally out, like, I felt relieved, but also like, it was like, I don't know, it was a weird feeling. It's just a weird feeling. You put in all this work and then you're done.
And it lasts like 2 seconds. It's like a wedding, right? It's like, you spend all this time building this thing up, and then the wedding happens, and like the next day it's like, okay, well, great. That was cool.
Yeah, exactly. So were there any artists that inspired the direction of this EP instrumentally?
Ooh, this is a good question. Yes. Do I remember them now? I'm not sure. But no, I think when I was approaching this again, which I've approached every project this way, of like really trying to infuse the different styles and genres that I'm into. And so this project, it really was no different in that aspect. I think the only difference was that I was just clearer on the fact that I knew I wanted to be more pop and a bit more upbeat. Mm-hmm. So with that, I was looking at artists like Tuvlo. I think Lennon Stella was like a big one that I was listening to at the time. John Legend is someone that I often reference because I feel like, one, we kind of have like similar like soulful voices, but I think he's someone who's able to, he's able to bounce genres, like, in my opinion, pretty seamlessly. Mm-hmm. And he can do like a dance record one day, and he can do like the sad ballad, and he can do something that's a bit more edgy, and it all kind of works in his world, right? So that's kind of what I set out to do. And so artists like that, like even like artists like Rihanna, like they just do so many different things, but like it makes sense in their world. And that's kind of what I was setting out to do with this EP, and pretty much what I'm setting out to do with my career, to be honest.
I agree about John Legend as well. I love his, like, I personally really love his dance-based tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. Love those. Did you find any songs on the EP difficult to finish or write? And if so, why?
Ooh, I don't know if I found any of them like that difficult to finish. I think for me, usually when it comes to writing, like I'm pretty good at finishing things. Like I just kind of hunker down. I'm like, just get it done. But
that's good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it is good. And I think, I don't even know what I'm trying to say now.
No, what you're trying to say is you're balling. You've got it under control.
I can't say that because then I sound like a jerk, but if you want to say it, that's totally fine.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I interpret this. All right,
perfect. I guess like maybe production wise, I could say like those kind of became a bit difficult to do. And I think out of all the songs, the one that probably went through the most changes was probably Live in a Dream. So Alexander Flockhart did that one as well. But I think on that one, we had kind of like varying ideas of what it was supposed to be, but like we're still kind of speaking the same language. So that one just took a bit more to kind of get on the same board with. And a lot of it too, like obviously, you know, I'm like the harmony friggin' queen. Like it's what I love the most.
Yes.
So when it came time to like mix the songs, that's kind of where I can get a bit crazy, because I'm like, I know in pop music, generally, like, the backgrounds are not as important. They're just kind of, like, support, and so they're in the background. But for me, it's, like, I almost, like, I want, like, a pop song, but I want the vocals to be mixed, like, R&B or soul, where, like, all vocals are important. Like, if I sing a lick here, or if I do any kind of background, like, it's not just for, you know, a little glitz in the background. Like, I want it to be front and center. So I think the mixing part of it, although like Brandon Eunice, who mixed it, like obviously he did an amazing job and he was super easy to do it. It's just like, I can get, that's where I can kind of get very like, okay, well, you know, pull this harmony up like half a dB or whatever, like crazy things. So to me, that's probably like where I kind of go off the deep end.
Hey, it's definitely worth it. Cause I can tell you, like when I listened to this EP, like that was something I noticed. I was like, these harmonies are stunning. Like, gorgeous. But okay. So as for Live in a Dream, I don't know if I interpreted it correctly, but like the way I kind of took it was like to be a very bittersweet song, like kind of the idea of being in a relationship and, you know, living through these good times, but then like knowing they're not going to last, something like that. I don't know, but I'd love to hear your interpretation, like what it means to you.
Yeah, so I mean, I like that that's where you took it, because I feel like when I do the songs too, like I typically don't want to talk about them too much in the beginning, because I kind of want everyone to kind of get what they get from it, because that's kind of the beauty of music, right? Like what it means for me is one thing, but what it means for you can be a totally different thing. But if I talk about it too much, then I kind of skew your vision, right? So
yeah,
you're like halfway to what I intended, which I think is cool. Sweet. So for me, yes, it is a bittersweet song. It's almost like I think when I was writing it, it was about the fact that I am working in the music industry. Obviously, like I'm touring with different bands, I'm doing wedding gigs, that kind of stuff. But as like a child, the dream was like, oh, I want to be famous, or I want to be like on the major stages, like that kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's this bittersweet thing of like, yes, I'm working in the industry, And it may not be what I thought it was going to be growing up, but I'm still happy doing it. And I think for me also, it's like, it's kind of trying to take ownership and take pleasure and joy in all the steps and not waiting for like, oh, you know, when I get this record deal or when this happens or that happens, that's when I'm going to be happy. So you have to like live in the moment. That's kind of where my headspace was at with it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So like, I guess I'm reviewing it in more of a relationship context, but like that's what's so beautiful about it though. You know, like you can, it's up for interpretation, but ultimately it kind of, it still has that underlying meaning of, you know, being in the moment, enjoying it, and maybe not worrying about that.
Yeah.
Per se.
So I think we're both on the same page with it. We've heard it differently. And I think it's cool because it kind of also depends on like whatever's going on in your life too sometimes, right? Like makes you relate to it a bit differently. So
for sure. I guess bringing it to being about the music industry, what is like your ideal future in the music industry? Like where do you see yourself?
For me, the ideal is to get rid of my side hustle job for one, which I mean, I love my side hustle job, but I would love to just actually like be self-sufficient in the industry, writing my own music. And then also like, I really, really enjoy working for the artists, whether it's doing writing or like vocal production in the studio or just mentoring, whatever. I've really grown to like love that aspect of it. So I just really want to be working in this industry in many different facets and not be struggling.
I feel that. Do you have like a dream label?
A dream label? No, I don't. Which might be a weird thing to say, but
no.
I don't know. I've never really like, I've always like obviously I've thought about like labels and like, again, it seems like that's the thing that you're supposed to aspire to, right? So I think for me, I've tried to like not have it be an aspiration just to kind of save myself so I can continue going on and be happy doing what I'm doing. But I think now that I've kind of put this EP out, my hope with this was by doing this EP as well, I'd be able to connect with more artists, and that's already happened. And then the next hope was that I would have a bit more clout to approach different labels now that things have kind of happened and people can kind of see the full vision of where I'm at now as opposed to what was happening a few years ago, right? So
yeah,
I think at this point, yeah, I don't know if I want a major label kind of situation right now, but I think I would love to partner with some kind of an indie label that has some kind of clout, because I just think having that support would be very beneficial, and it just would be nice to have other people around to just kind of, you know, bounce things off of.
Of course, yeah. Totally understand that. Talk to me about the video for No Good. Personally, I loved the green color palette. Green is my favorite color. Everything was green and I was like, stunning. And I also thought it really captured the accuracy of how confusing relationships can be. And I like how you were kind of showing the back and forth between you and your partner, you know, being good and then not good. And I just think that's something everyone can relate to. So
yeah. So that video, what had happened was I was on tour with a band called Samantha Martin and Delta Sugar, and it was my first time going to Europe. I think it was last year. And after the tour had finished, we were in France, and I decided that I was just going to go to London by myself because I've always wanted to go to London and I'd never been. And so I was by myself. It was my birthday that same week. So I said, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. So I went for a week. Not even a week. I think it was like maybe like 4 or 5 days. And when I was there, I, in true Tafari fashion, was like, I need to work on something. I'm like, I'm here in London, so I should probably work with somebody on something. So that's what I did. So again, I went onto Instagram. I said, listen, No Good was already like pretty much a final stage at that point, the audio of it. Mm-hmm. So I decided I would just go on Instagram and see who I could find to kind of do a video for it. So I ended up finding the director on Instagram, and then I messaged a whole bunch of actors. Nobody had like what their sexual orientation was. So I was just like cold calling, be like, hey, would you be into doing this? Obviously I got a lot of people turning down, but it was fine. But the actor that actually agreed to it was lovely, and I think was the perfect match for it. And then, so initially what I was going to do was try and film the video outside and like show the landscape, and that was where my focus was, because I think I was just like, oh well, I'm in London, so I should show that I'm in London. Like it was the obvious choice, right?
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, I think the director wasn't available at a time where that was going to work. And again, talking about fate and signs. So because it wasn't going to work, I said, well, I still want to do it. So let's figure out another way. And so I end up finding that studio, which is the Clapton Tram. And I realize now that it's used in a lot of stuff in London because it's just like this like plant paradise, which is really cool. So then I ended up finding the space, and I had done like my previous videos have all kind of been very like story based. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to do that again at that point, but I think it worked out in my favor that I just ended up going that way. And at that point, then it became important for me to not again shy away from the complexities of the song and the relationship that I was trying to depict there. So I feel like, I don't know if it's because in homosexual relationships, because it's like, it's two men or it's two women or two people, whatever, that are kind of the same. People don't often, they don't think that there can be like a power dynamic, because they're like, oh, well, you're kind of the same, so you're on the same level. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think in any relationship, there's always going to be a power dynamic, and it's a matter of how those people deal with it. Mm-hmm. And so in that specific relationship, it was just dealt in a way that was just not cute. it was not cute. I just really wanted to like dive into that. The actor, Jacob, for me to almost like perform in it, I had to like tell him all the things that would trigger me, because I wanted to be authentic. And I was like, I was like, these are the things that would like drive me nuts if you ever said this to me. So go ahead and say it to me, and like we'll play this out properly. And he just committed to it so well that it allowed me to also shine in the video. But I think honestly, it's because of him why the video was able to be so powerful, because he just really committed to the role, and he didn't shy away from trying to tell the story.
Wow, what an amazing story. That's so spontaneous.
Right? Well, I know. Again, I'm like, that's not me.
It is, though. Now it is.
I guess it's me now, but like back then, it's like, I'm going to go to London by myself. Like, that's not a thing I would do. Mm-hmm. So, it's crazy.
Wow, that's really inspiring, and congratulations. Yeah, that's fantastic. Any final words about the EP?
I mean, I guess final words, like, I hope everybody likes it. And I've been running like this Indiegogo campaign to try and do some vinyl records of it, because I just think it'd be really cool.
That's an amazing idea.
Which, again, that's something I've never really done, like the crowdfunding thing. But I decided, you know what, like, one, obviously there's no shows happening at this point, so I'm trying to find ways to kind of support the next phase of this thing, because like the whole thing with like doing the music is like, it's the consistency, right? So this year worked out well because I obviously planned for it, so I was able to put the singles out in the right time frame, that kind of stuff. But it's like going forward, it's like you have to just keep on it and keep going. So in order to try and keep consistent, I'm trying to figure out the funding for the next phase. That's kind of where I went with that, and I figured, you know what, the crowdfunding thing, people do it all the time, so let me just try it and see what happens. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Cool. So then how can people find that?
You can find it through any of my socials or my website. There's a link there as well, which is Tafari Anthony, which is T-A-F as in Frank, A-R-I, Anthony, spelled the regular way. And and there's links everywhere, and I'll be talking about it a lot because I really want it to happen.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I'm really glad we got to talk about the EP, because I really admire it, and I'd love to get it on vinyl. But everybody, make sure you check it out. It's called The Way You See Me. It's on all streaming platforms. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jenna.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and I'll talk to you guys next week.